Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Oh, endometriosis. It affects 1 in 10 women, and most people don't even know what's going on in their belly when they start up with those pains.
I mean, and it's so painful and debilitating, Pam. It's just beyond. People just don't know.
It's the worst. So we have Dr. Lauren Stryker, our go-to.
Yay!
Doctor, yay, Lauren, who is Associate Clinical Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Northwestern University. And what we want to do today, Dr. Stryker, is talk about endometriosis. Good grief, Susan Sarandon, Whoopi Goldberg, Padma Lashmi, and another 176 million women have this oftentimes debilitating disease. Can you tell us what endometriosis is and typical symptoms?
Well, first of all, there is no typical symptom, and that's what makes this such a difficult condition to diagnose, because many women have no symptoms, and as you said, many women have debilitating, in fetal position, cannot get out of their bed, horrifying pain, not just with their periods, but sometimes all month long. As far as what it is, it's actually fairly simple. There are glands that line the uterine cavity. And if they stay where they're supposed to be, there's no trouble. But what endometriosis is when the glands that are supposed to be in the lining of the uterus get outside into other places in the body, most commonly in the lining of the pelvis, the tubes, the ovaries, sometimes the bowel, which is why there can be bowel symptoms, sometimes the bladder. And even in rare cases, it can travel all the way up to the lungs. And in fact, there are women that every month when they get their period, they actually cough up blood because they have lung endometriosis. So this is one of those conditions that it's this chameleon. It takes on so many different faces depending on where it is and how severe it is. But to make it even more difficult, symptoms don't always tell you how severe it is. There are some women that have terrible endometriosis that have no symptoms at all. And there are other women that they really have very mild endometriosis and have debilitating pain. So this is tricky. It's a tricky diagnosis and it's tricky to treat.
So Lauren, who gets endometriosis, right? Is there any rhyme or reason?
Any menstruating woman. And when you look back to when we first in the medical world first began to appreciate endometriosis, it was a disease that was attributed to white educated women. Now think about this. White educated women were the number one risk factor back in the 50s and 60s for having endometriosis. And what we now know is because those were the women that were getting medical care. And that's why they were being diagnosed.
Of course, they're the ones showing up.
Of course. And now we know that, of course, endometriosis spares no ethnicity, no educational level. Anyone can get it. But it does have to be a menstruating woman. You know, you don't see this in an 8 or 9 year old. You don't see this in a postmenopausal woman. And in fact, I tell women who suffer from endometriosis, the ultimate cure, of course, is menopause. But it is something that women don't know can affect them, and they do think that it's one particular person that has it, and that's just not the case. It can be anyone. There is a genetic component, though, and I think that's very important to appreciate. As we learn more about what causes endometriosis, and there are a lot of different theories and a lot of different things that we think are creating the problem here, but certainly genetics is one of them. So I always tell a young woman when I'm taking her history, and I'll say, did your mother, did your grandmother, do your sisters have problems with painful periods or endometriosis? And if they say, oh, yeah, that's in my family, that's a red flag that says we need to monitor you as well.
Right, which is always good to know, right, that you've got you have to have a family history. You and I have talked about that a lot, and I've talked to Pam about that. So tell me a couple of things. How does someone diagnose it? And why do so many women have this disease?
Well, the only way to definitively diagnose it is by surgically looking inside, most typically doing a laparoscopy. And as a practical matter, we're certainly not going to do a laparoscopy on every woman who is suspecting endometriosis. So this is a diagnosis which very often we make without being absolutely certain. So who am I suspicious of? Well, first of all, any woman that comes in and tells me that she has painful periods and this is the key piece of it, that are getting progressively worse. You know, if someone says, from the day I was 11 years old, I always had painful periods, it's always been the case, it's never gotten any worse, never, it's just, it is what it is, probably not endometriosis. It's the woman that says, oh my God, my periods now are so much worse than they were, and it's getting even worse and worse. And then we have the symptoms that we don't necessarily associate with endometriosis, painful sex. In Sex RX, my comprehensive sexual book, I spend a great deal of time talking about the causes of painful sex. And certainly in a woman who is still menstruating, endometriosis is at the top of the list. There are women who have difficulty getting pregnant. Many women have no pain at all.
Yes, exactly.
But then they go for a fertility evaluation and end up with a laparoscopy. And we know that up to 50% of women having a laparoscopy for infertility, endometriosis is found. Women who have painful bowel movements, even women who have difficulty with urination. And then there's the old chronic pelvic pain. These poor women that begin to feel like it's all in their head because they have this terrible, terrible pain, and they go to doctor after doctor who says, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. And in fact, they may have terrible endometriosis. It does not show up on an ultrasound. It does not show up on an MRI. With a pelvic exam, I might suspect endometriosis from some very specific things that I feel in a pelvic exam, but again, it's not a definite diagnosis. The best I can do to someone is say, look, I think there's a chance you have endometriosis, but I don't know for sure without surgery, but we're not going to do surgery if we don't need to. We're just going to move forward on the premise that perhaps you do, and let's try and deal with it.
Well, Dr. Stryker, tell everyone what happens when a woman has endometriosis and she becomes pregnant.
It's great.
I know. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Right. Yes. It's such a wonderful point because while, yes, endometriosis can sometimes prevent pregnancy, getting pregnant, once you get pregnant, it's like you give it a rest. And in fact, when we talk about the treatment for endometriosis, it's all about making those glands just go to sleep for a while because we know that when we are menstruating every time a woman gets a period, those glands are very active, which is why endometriosis is so painful during periods. But anytime you can stop menstruation, you are going to suppress endometriosis. You don't cure it, but you suppress it. So pregnancy, absolutely, you got it when you're pregnant. It goes on vacation for 9 months. But that's exactly why one of the ways that we treat endometriosis commonly is using birth control pills. And when we give birth control pills, we don't do this traditional, you know, 3 weeks on, 1 week off. We give them continuously because, as I say, no period, no problems. So you get rid of the period, and you very often will, if not completely eliminate the endometriosis pain, you can dramatically decrease it. We also find that with a progestin IUD, like Mirena, that you can suppress those endometriosis glands. So pregnancy is the model for how we suppress it, and then we try and fool Mother Nature by getting other ways to suppress those glands so that someone doesn't have a period until, of course, a woman goes through menopause, and then endometriosis is no longer an issue.
So it isn't an issue. So taking estrogen, and we don't have much time, but so taking estrogen after you've had a hysterectomy or gone through menopause, it does not grow endometriosis.
Exactly. And that's so important because I have so many women who are afraid to take hormone therapy because they say, well, I can't take hormones because I had endometriosis. And I tell them, oh, no. And in fact, that's been well studied. That's just not my opinion. And in fact, when we do surgery for endometriosis, and if someone does end up with a hysterectomy, and we tell them, and ovary removal, we tell them, no, you can actually take estrogen.
So
and especially
important.
Young women.
I love the fact that that myth is being dispelled by you. We're talking to Dr. Lauren Stryker. She's the author of Sex RX, Hormones, Health, and Your Best Sex Ever. Make sure to run out there and get it. Dr. Stryker, thank you so much for being on her radio and helping clarify endometriosis for us. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
I think next time we're going to have Dr. Stryker on and talk about orgasms. I think that's what she was talking about today. Oh, boy.
Heck yeah.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.